ways, we have an opportunity at this time of the year to experience the reality of God's love and provision in our lives, and to express both back to God and to one another the extraordinary way in which God has supplied our lives. And so we really asked you guys to maybe even think all through the week last week about how you might reflect and name God's goodness and provision in your life. This week, we're going to continue with that theme corporately and not assume that where we do our corporate thanksgiving is individually and apart from one another, but communally and together. One of the things that we do around here once per quarter, I don't know if you've picked up on this or not, for those of you who've been around a while, is rather than build our worship service primarily around the singing and the message and communion, we sometimes once a quarter do what we call all worship, which is we don't shape it around the sermon, but we shape it around spiritual formation exercises that help us to respond and listen for God's voice in some different ways. And so this morning is one of the ways that we're going to do that, is reflecting communally on what we feel like we have to be thankful from God. Last week I mentioned that if we're going to be people who are shaped by gratitude, that we've got to take time to reflect on our lives. We've got to think about what has happened in our lives and name those things in order to reckon with them. And that includes both the ways that we've had provision and also the ways in which we've suffered, believe it or not. You know, the other thing is I don't know about you guys, but one of the things for me is I have a tendency to be focused on always what's going to happen next, and oftentimes don't get much of an opportunity to think about what has just passed. And so one of the things that we're also going to do this morning is we're going to set apart three different times in our morning to let people from our community who have been involved in different ministries or parts of the life of our community come up and share communally in a posture of gratitude how God has met them in our common life here as well this morning. So I just do, before I let our first group of people come up and do that, want to just share something, though, with you that I read this week about gratitude. I found this, and this author says this: without a basic posture of gratitude, our salvation is incomplete, and even the health of our families and of our churches and of our nation and our world is in jeopardy. A few years ago, Dr. Nick Stinnett of the University of Nebraska conducted a group of studies called the Family Strengths Research Project. Stinnett and his researchers identified six qualities that make for strong families, and my guess would be that they would also make for strong communities. The first quality, and the one of the most important to be found in strong families, is the quality of appreciation. Families that are strong in part, Dr. Stinnett concludes, because their family members express to each other their appreciation for what the other members do and for who they are. His study also said in the workplace, the ratio of praise to criticism in the workplace has to be 4 to 1 before employees feel that there is a balance, that there must be 4 times as much praise as there is criticism before they feel good about their work and the environment that they work in. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? And so much so for us as well here, that to take time to pause and to say, what have we done in our life together over the last several months, and how do we want to reflect on that? And so I'm going to kick us off with this first movement. We're going to talk about really 3 areas this morning. One is spiritual formation. And one of the ways that we were intentional about spiritual formation this year was through pilgrimages and the doing of that. So I'm going to have a couple of people come up and share about their experience on going on a pilgrimage with us for the purpose of connecting with God. In a minute, Philip's going to come up and talk about serving, and that we have this program here called ESL that's an overflow of our life, and Second Saturdays where people come and give of their time to serve other people. And then Shane's going to come up and talk about our common community life, and specifically some of the impact group things we do. And we'll be worshiping throughout that. So I know this is a lot of talking right now. It won't all be like this. And we'll have some other exercises to do as well. But as we get started, I'm going to invite Dave and Julie to come up. And each of them are just going to take a few minutes to talk about and to reflect out loud gratitude for something that they participated in. Julie, you're going to lead us off. So this is Julie Abdernath.
Abendroth, but that's okay. It's a tough last name. My name's Julie, and I just wanted to share a part of the journey that God's had me on and how the pilgrimage played into that and the role that he's used the pilgrimage since then. Since I moved to Casey not too long ago, I spent a lot of time by myself. And so it's interesting that I had this deep interest to go on the pilgrimage and spend a whole day in solitude. But the thing that God really showed me during that day was how radically different being alone and lonely is from being in solitude with him. And the reaction that it elicits from me. Being alone is passive, whereas being in solitude is really active on my part. To be in conversation, communion with God requires me to be active, and I must choose to turn towards Christ. And for me, what that looks like is not looking to others for what only he intended to provide. And in general, I think as people, we tend to look to those around us, whether it be the community of believers or to those who are in closest relationship to us to provide what they were never intended to provide, to be someone that they were never intended to be, and we lay these unrealistic expectations on them. And as he spoke to me that day, and he continues to speak to me, he really just told me to stop looking to others for what only I can provide. I'm the one you're looking for. And in that, he's asked me to invite him in, to come and be my refuge. Jesus, would you come and be my strength? Jesus, would you come and be my support? Would you come and be my companion? Would you come and be truth to me? Would you come and be my love? Would you come and be my joy? And so it's with a great thankfulness and a thankful heart that as I've been doing that and yielded to him and moved out of the way, that he's been able to be exactly who he's intended to be and who he's made to be and who he wants to be in my life. Thanks.
I'm David Campbell, and I also got the opportunity to go on the pilgrimage. And just want to start out to say it was just a beautiful day. God just blessed us with just an awesome day. We went out to the Youth Front campgrounds and just got to have some great time alone with God. It was just amazing. We just all spread out and just got an opportunity to just experience God. For me, it really opened up my eyes on how we need to really create space so God can act in our lives. Like many of you guys, I believe, just lead very busy lives, and we really forget to really slow down and just really create space where God can act. And so it was a great afternoon where I just got the opportunity for God to create that space in me. Solitude for me is just a very difficult place because for me, I have to let go of a lot of control. It seems like a lot of areas of my life, I want to be in control. I just want to continually have things go my way. And I think God just does not want us to live that kind of life. He wants us to be in a spirit with him where we can connect with him. And it seems like solitude is the only place where we can really, deep down inside, really connect with him in a level that's just like nothing else. For many of us, I believe that we just want to be known. We want to experience a place where we're accepted. And I believe that the only place we can really hear our true identity is when we're in solitude. And we kind of read a passage on this journey, and it talked about how God has chosen us to be the beloved. And it's just interesting that the only place we can really, I think, truly experience that is through solitude, is quieting ourselves so we can listen to God over and over say in our hearts that we are the beloved. And I think once we finally have our true knowledge of who we are in God, that's when we really can start moving out of this place of solitude into community and ministry. And Tim has talked about how so many times we do the opposite. We want to jump into ministry, and then we want to get into community. And if it's not working, uh-oh, maybe I should go pray. And I think that's just the opposite of what Jesus did. He was always first in solitude, quieting himself so he could really truly understand his belovedness. And from that, he was able to act out through community and ministry. And so it was just an opening experience for me, something that I definitely have taken so much from that that weekend. And so I just really want to learn to put in that discipline of solitude, letting go of my control issues, letting go of what I want for my life, and instead having God just really speak to me. And it was interesting. In closing, it's one of the questions that kind of I felt God was asking me during this week was, I think this life, we're all about the world tells us to produce and consume. And instead of producing and consuming, I feel like God wants us to instead to be fruitful and to surrender to him. And so maybe as you guys practice solitude, hopefully you can just practice letting go and really surrendering your lives to him.
Wow, you guys, thanks. It's a real gift. You know, we think of the message going out. The scriptures really give us two categories, really kerygma, which means proclamation, preaching the message. But the other one is called martyria. It's the word we get martyr from, and that is to give witness, to bear witness to God's activity in our lives. And so we're pretty heavy around here on the kerygma thing, around the speaking, the proclamation. But occasionally it's really good to pause, isn't it? And to bear witness to God's activity in our lives. So with that, can I ask you to stand up, greet some folks around you. Kids, you're released. And we will continue into our morning of worship.
My name is Philip Lesneski, and one of the things that I take from what Julie spoke to us just a few minutes ago was that she came to a realization that she had to put Jesus first in her life. Solitude was a place where she had to go, where she had to meet Jesus first before a lot of other things in her life could come together. This portion, we're going to be talking about service and serving. And I think it's out of that point of solitude, out of that place where Jesus meets us individually, where we're able to give to others out of abundance. And here at Jacob's Well, we have two avenues where people can get involved. One is our English as a Second Language program. Every Tuesday and Thursday night, we teach English to a group of immigrants here in our community. And also this event called Second Saturday. It's the second Saturday of every month we set aside to service, serving people in our community. Let me read you something from Proverbs 31, verse 8 and 9 say, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those who are perishing. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice." I'm going to ask my friend Christy Hansen to come up and speak a little bit more about this and how she's been involved both in the English as a Second Language program and also in the Second Saturdays.
La cosa es que es muy difícil vivir en un país que no habla el idioma. What I just said was it's very difficult to live in a country where you don't speak the language. So that's why we have this ESL program for the people in our community that are here that don't speak English or that are learning English. We have people on a lot of different levels that are learning English, but that's part of our ministry is to teach them a valuable skill here in at Jacob's Well. It's so important when you live somewhere that you can. It's so hard not to understand things. So that's a gift that we are able to give and to work with these students and to build relationships with them. And I just wanted to talk a little bit. I was able to teach ESL for a few months, and I just wanted to share some of the blessings in my life that came out of that with the students. One thing that I learned, I guess I was just really blessed. As a student right now, there's times when I'm really excited when class gets out early or when I don't have to do quite as much work as usual, which probably a lot of students could understand that, but with the ESL students, there's no getting out early. If we finish class 5 minutes early, they say, well, teach us something else. We have 5 more minutes. We need to learn a little more. And that was just really a blessing to me that people were so interested and excited to learn and also so dedicated to it. There's one family that has been coming for, I don't know, probably a year, Pablo and Aureli, and they have 3 little girls, and I just know their life is a challenge because Pablo works from like 5 a.m. till 5 p.m. driving a truck, and then they're just faithfully there by 6 o'clock to this program. And it just was such a blessing to me, their diligence and their excitement to learn, and also their spiritual gifts to me. Probably one of the most incredible things in the program was just learning or just sharing with the people in a spiritual relationship. A lot of the students just had really difficult lives. They were maybe living in a a difficult situation with a lot of people and sending all of their extra income back to their families and in really horrible conditions sometimes, just living in poverty with maybe not even enough to eat. And so I guess what was just amazing to me was their faithfulness to God, their praise to Him, and just the way that they continually just trusted in Him to provide for them. It was just really incredible to be in relationship with these students. The other thing I wanted to talk about a little bit is the second Saturdays that we have been involved in here. I guess for maybe the last 3 months, on the second Saturday of the month, we've been meeting at 10 o'clock at the church to do some work in the community, to partner with a family or several different families to serve in some way that some need that they're not able to meet themselves. And I've just been incredibly blessed by this. It's really humbling in a lot of ways to go into somebody's home. And I know for me, when my home isn't really clean and neat, I don't necessarily want people to come in. I like to have it tidy. And people who are just really struggling with a lot of other issues have just been so welcoming to us, and so recognizing that they're willing to have us come in and help them. One particular family that just really stands out in my mind, it was on the first time that we went out to do this. It was a couple probably in their 50s that had been dealing with some chronic illness, and this man was getting ready to have surgery on his liver. And they were just the warmest, kindest people, and they just were so welcoming. Once we got there and got into their home, they just were incredible, but their basement had flooded, and they just recognized that they weren't able to clean it up themselves. And it was a risk to their health, and I just appreciated so much the blessing that they gave to us by allowing us to help them. And just really showed me that it's so important to be able to ask people for help and allow people in the community to come into our lives in ways that we can't fulfill our needs on our own. So, thanks.
Well, you guys, let's stand and give thanks again to God for what He is doing in our midst through ESL, Second Saturdays, and the Spirit of Serving. For being a God whose life reaches out into all the corners of creation and brings life. For drawing us into your work of serving and thereby helping us to find our lives by giving them away. For giving to us the message of reconciliation and calling us your ambassadors to a world full of disappointment and pain. For serving us by washing our feet and sacrificing your body and your blood.
The Jacob's Wall, our impact groups. And it's interesting, this morning, as Tim was pointing out, we had some projector problems, and one of them went out, but the other one continued. And we were like, oh no, what's going on? And it occurred to me, this is a really interesting illustration of the value of these relationships that form in homes and in settings that are smaller than our large gatherings on Sundays. Because there's a time and place for us to go and receive from God and have ourselves filled up in order to support the saints, the other people. And then there's times when we just don't have anything to offer and we lean on those other people around us for support in a similar way to these two projectors. One of them, it has to be doing its own thing in order to fully accomplish its function. But if not, it does have the support of the other one. And in these home-based groups, this is a very similar thing that happens. And I'm going to have one of our leaders tell a little story about this kind of support that takes place in these home-based settings. This is Ed Marquette.
Thanks, Shane. On this, the veritable eve of Thanksgiving, I want publicly to thank God for the relationships in my life, as Tim encouraged us to do last week. In particular, the members of my impact group. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 7:14 starts talking about how he'd been boasting, if you will, about his impact group in Corinth. That's the Ed Marquette translation, for those of you who want to know. So indulge me for a minute. I'm going to boast about the people in my impact group here in Kansas City. story starts about a month ago, and this is just one story. I think I could tell dozens, and they'd have to pull the hook out to get me off the microphone. About a month ago, Brian and Carol Hull, who had moved here recently from Maryland, had indicated an interest in joining an impact group. And so we invited them to come down to our home. The following week, we, I guess maybe the best word is braced ourselves for a whole covey of kids. What I didn't tell you is that Brian and Carol have four adorable kids, ages 8, 7, 4, and 2. Well, the time came for impact group, and the Hulls weren't there. And the time passed for impact group, and they still weren't there. Disappointed, I expressed the same to my wife, Ansie, and she said, you know, with four little kids, anything could have happened. So we thought nothing more of it, went to bed. Early, very early the next morning, I received an email message. It was from Carol Hull. Ed, sorry we didn't make it to impact group last night. We were on our way there when we were in a serious automobile accident. Our van is a total loss, but praise God, after we took the kids to Children's Mercy Hospital, they were all released and are well except for cuts, stitches, scratches, scrapes, bumps, and bruises. Now, what I didn't know then but learned later was the magnitude of the accident. Serious was probably an understatement. Carol's husband, Brian, was out of town. She and the four kids were coming from Olathe on I-35 when an 18-wheeler pulled in from the outer lane, smacked into a car next to it, sending it out of control, which in turn smacked into the Hull's van. The van then slammed into the median, careened out of control, flipped upside down, and skidded to a stop. Carol, by herself, got out of her seatbelt in an upside-down van, kicked out the windows, and got her four kids out of their seatbelts and to safety. Carol's kind of my hero. Well, that night I didn't know any of that, so I sent out a message as soon as I had received word from Carol about the accident, and I said to the members of my group, can we pitch in, bring food, do babysitting? That's all I knew to do. And really, to my wonderful, wonderful pleasure, member after member after member after member said, yes, they bring food. And so we supplied food for the Hulls on Thursday, on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, until Brian's parents got into town. Those who couldn't cook volunteered to babysit. Well, I didn't really think all that was remarkable until a few days later when Carol sent an email message out to some of her friends back in Maryland, perhaps elsewhere, and she copied me on it. And she talked about their move to Kansas City, and she talked about the accident, again minimizing her role. And then she talked about the care and compassion and concern that she'd experienced from this group of people. And then she added, and we've never even met them. They were on their way to their first impact group meeting, so we didn't know them, and they didn't know us. So the following weeks, it was kind of fun to get acquainted with the Hulls. You know, Tim talked last week about how we get so worked up about circumstances, and that God is not as much concerned about our circumstances as he is about what we do with those circumstances. And I've learned from my own experience and that I've just shared, and from Romans 8:28, that God can take the most negative circumstances, like a tragic car wreck, and can turn it into something that is a real triumph for those people who love God, who care about him, and who care about each other. In our impact groups, not just mine, but all of them, we are busy about encouraging each other, challenging each other, loving each other, and caring for each other. To be part of one, all you have to do, as the Hulls would tell you, is just start to go to one. We'll meet you on the way. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed.
I'm going to ask you to remain seated, but join me in giving a prayer of thanksgiving for the common life that we share here as well. For the shared communion and the life of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, we give thanks. For inviting us into your shared life by making us a people, your church. For all that we learn, and for all the ways we are stretched, and for all the growth that we have experienced in our lives because of the people around us. For loving us so much that you shared with us not only the gospel of God, but your very self. Thanks be to God. Folks, this marks a turning point in our worship service tonight. We've spent the first part of our night worshiping and giving thanks to God in song and by listening to people reflect and name the blessings of God in their life in some common ways. Last week when I preached, for those of you who remember, I concluded my message on this topic by asking you a series of questions, and we provided a blank piece of paper for you to write those things down, asking you to reflect on and name God's provision and blessing in your life. If you pull out your announcement tonight, those things are repeated on the back of tonight's announcement sheet. And now as we come to the point in our worship gathering where we have communion, I'm going to ask you, if you haven't had the opportunity during this time of coming to communion and continuing to worship, to take time and to reflect on some of the ways that you sense God's blessing and provision in your life. Let me just again remind you what those were. What has happened in my life over the last year? In relationship to those things, what is my basic posture? Is my basic posture one of gratitude and contentment, or is it one of disappointment and frustration? Then to name those things, where has God provided for me in my life? Who are the relationships that God has supplied for me in the last year? Where have I experienced God's provision in my life materially, financially, vocationally, physically in my own body, relationally? And then, because this is a significant part of our lives, where have I struggled this year? Where have I experienced pain and suffering? Because like we said last week, if you want to experience joy, then you also have to experience the flip side of it, and that is pain. And so even being willing to name the pain and to give thanks to God for those things are extraordinary. Let me tell you why I want you to take some time as we come to communion to reflect on those. As we come to Jesus' table tonight, we know that the word for communion, Eucharist, simply means giving thanks. We give thanks for God's provision of himself to us and the suffering that God endured that we might have relationship with him. And what we're going to invite you to do tonight as you come forward during this time of worship and communion, you all have been seeing these kind of open blank canvases here. These are spaces that we're creating to take time as we come to the table of Jesus and to pause and to write down together a word or a sentence or a phrase that expresses to God our gratitude for something of this year. So you might come forward and you might decide to put a person's name up here who has been significant for you, a way that God has provided, a particular struggle or piece of suffering that you've had. Some of you may not be able to do any of those things. All you want to do tonight is just make a mark and just put a big X on here and just say, I was here, that's all I can do. That's okay. I know for many of you, this will be an exciting way to express yourselves, while there are others among you here tonight that, man, this is so far out of your comfort zone that you're not even sure you want to do it. You'd rather just stay where you're seated. Let me encourage you to move out of your comfort zone tonight and to be willing to come forward and to kneel down and to grab a marker or a crayon and to write something to express personally what we've been expressing communally to God. God, this is my response to you tonight, and this is where I am. And if you don't want to do that, if you just want to stay where you are, please feel welcome to stay right where you are. In the same way, if you want to come forward and not make a mark or write a word, but simply want to take communion, in the same way, that is a totally legitimate and valid response tonight. But in this portion of our worship time, we want to reckon, we want to name, we want to reflect on those ways that God has blessed us. And so as is our practice tonight, as we come into this time of communion, I'm going to lead into this time by reading from Paul's letter to the Corinthians in chapter 11, verse